CliffCentral.com.
And billions.
Is that still a thing? Are people still drinking on Thursdays? Because it's tough. It takes its toll, man.
With what money, Gareth?
Yeah, well.
Okay. With what money?
But if you drink on Thursday, let's say you scrounge up a few cents and you find some booze.
Mm.
Or you make your own, like the Russians.
Oh,
you
know, some mambur will
yeah,
do?
Yeah, you put some fermenting vegetables in them. A vat underground. I don't know how
and that's
work.
Why rural Russia is the way it is.
They reckon Russians are the drunkest people on earth, eh?
Yeah, like vodka's so cheap in Russia, but yet they still make their own. It's like a pride thing.
Mm.
But then they, I mean, you've seen the memes, you've seen the clips.
For sure. Oh yeah, oh
you've
hell
seen
yeah.
The Instagram though. Account, look at this Russian.
They have got, to look at this Russian is one of my favorite Instagram accounts. Do you follow them?
No.
It's a parallel universe.
Get on it immediately. Look at this Russian.
It's a parallel universe. You can't comprehend the shit these people get up to.
Look at.
Do you ever watch Russian TV, RT?
I don't watch TV.
No, I used to watch it. I'm enough.
What?
Yeah. Look at this Russian. It's so good. But the reason I bring up RT is because it's probably Trump's favorite news network after Fox News, for obvious reasons. And it's just such a weird take on the world, because they put Russia at the middle of everything, right?
Yeah.
And they have a couple of, to the untrained eye, they look like really good reporters. But they're pretty, you scratch the surface, you see very quickly these are by no means, you couldn't call them journalists. You could call them reporters, maybe. Mm. But they are, you know, they're there to trot out the state line. And RT's quite popular. It's quite a big network. Like, a lot of people in the world watch it.
Sure.
You know, it's comparable with, like, a CNN. Not that that's a winning formula, but, you know, they do well internationally. I mean, like, more people watch them, I suppose, internationally than watch them in Russia. Because it's their BBC, CNN type arrangement. But they're very partisan. And look, occasionally you get a really good take on things. Like, I sometimes used to watch them when I cared about Syria. I know this is a terribly insensitive thing to say, but I don't care about Syria anymore because it's too difficult and too complicated. And frankly, it doesn't really... Sorry about that. See what happens when I talk about Syria? I can't stay on top of that story. It's too complex. You know who the bad guys in Snow White? You know who the bad person? It's the witch, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Queen Mother in Little Red Riding Hood. Who's the bad person? The wolf. You know how to figure that out in your head. I can't figure out who the bad guy is in Syria. I know Assad is a bad guy because people tell me he is, but maybe the guy's the only one holding. I don't know. I wish I knew. I've had brilliant people who really do understand the situation try to explain it. Maybe I'm too dumb. Maybe I am too stupid to understand Syria because I don't get it.
Now, Syria is one of the most complex things to understand.
Jesus
out of all the conflicts
Christ.
In the world, Syria is a web.
If you had to draw a picture of what's going on in Syria, it would be the most complicated diagram ever. You know how the police used to put up those investigation thing, and they have a little red string from this person's picture to that part of the map.
And there's a pin there.
And
there's
a pin here.
Yeah.
Right. If you had to draw that map for Syria, it would look like 25 million spiders had been making a web. So why is it so complicated?
Too much.
It's because there's different countries involved. But the UN who...
Russia, there's America, there's Syria, the UN...
Well, the UN, who obviously has a dabble at international affairs from time to time, they blast the current regime for carrying out war crimes and chlorine attacks and very alternative architectures.
Yeah. Chlorine attacks. Do me a favor.
Hate people when you chlorine attack.
Jesus.
Whatever happened with a fist fight and an argument?
Listen, chlorine attacks, the last time I think those were used in any real scale was World War I. That was 1914.
I mean, when your parents put too much chlorine in the pool, they were savages.
You hated them
for the whole weekend in summer.
Seriously. But this...
Terrifying.
Assad's people are actually attacking with chlorine.
What a place. Imagine children born there.
Yep.
Imagine how messed up your life is. You know, we think we got it tough, right? Because you know how people wake up in the morning. I got a little bit of a cold. Oh, my back hurts a bit. Oh, my bank balance is a little bit low. I'm going to have to borrow some money this month. Whatever. My relationship's gone to shit. My girlfriend broke up with me. And you look at Syria, and you think about a kid who's growing up in Damascus right now. Sweet Lord Jesus, give me all of your problems before you put me in Syria. All of it. I'll take everyone in South Africa's problems, and I won't have as many problems as Syria.
You'll take every one of their problems plus a prosthetic leg.
Which you get from the bums.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. The weirdest thing about that country, right? I don't know what's going on with me this morning. The weirdest thing about that place is all the refugees going into Central Europe and Western Europe from Syria are men.
Yeah, it's
you
a good
have
point.
To ask a couple of questions about that. Why are the men? I thought, you know how the Titanic sinks, the last ones to get off
women
should
and
be the men
first.
Women and children first. Mm. Get the women and children to safety. If you're a good society, that's what you do. That's what civilized people do. Why is it men? Someone answer that for me. They did some kind of survey, and I'll try to find it, because I hate just bringing up anecdotal evidence on the show. Our audience, our listeners are too smart to let me get away with bullshit. So I'll find the proper research, and I'll give you a citation. But they did a survey of the number of people who've gone into France since the Syrian conflict, and a large proportion of those are Syrians. There are also Algerians and Moroccans and all kinds of people, Libyans. But of the Syrians, something like 90% of them were men. Now, where are the women and children?
How did that happen?
I don't know. This is what's so weird, right? Even Turkey, who are dealing with a large population of refugees, and this is part of why Turkey's so unstable at the moment. You've got a strong man like Erdogan in there. They have a disproportionate number of men as refugees. Now, there is no society on earth where men outnumber women 2-1, because it wouldn't work. You know, the men would kill each other. Something would go very horribly wrong. It would equalize out, balance out, because otherwise, evolution and Darwinism and all of those natural laws, which you can try as you may to socially engineer them out of there. They're not going to get out. They're going to be a part of your life, whether you like it or not. Why is it so many of the refugees from these places are men? And by the way, I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist. This is what I've read. I have no point of view on the matter. I don't think that's there's some kind of massive conspiracy out of Syria. I just think that it's interesting to take note of this. You watch TV, see how many of them are women and children. And tell me why it's so disproportionately male.
I think it's just like an every person for themselves thing.
Yeah. Well, how come it's the men getting out? Who these poor women and children, where are they? Because if the men are making it out, who are they trampling on to get out?
Well, Gareth, there's just some very obvious reasons as well that men and women and children don't make the trip. They just die. I know that sounds very basic, but...
Well... Isn't that horrible?
It's a factor that people have been speaking about, that men,
isn't that horrible?
Men can physically make the trip.
Jesus, what a thing. Anyway, I didn't mean to start our Thursday with something so depressing.
And just think about logistically, it's harder to move in a group.
Right. Mm.
So I think you'll have a very similar thing in other countries. You'll find mostly men make it across borders. Like all the bad hombres.
Yeah.
Probably male as well.
Yeah, we don't get their best people. That's what Donald Trump said about the Mexicans, right?
The bad hombres.
All right, let's get to an email. The reason Syria was on my mind is because I played that clip that we recorded once of, travel to Syria.
What a great pull for tourism.
Isn't it?
I'd love to know how it spiked tourism, because it was a good clip.
I'm sure it helped. In what universe are we a travel agent? Speaking of travel, though, this is from Taryn. Dr. Taryn, who listens to us, right?
Oh.
I really enjoyed listening to your bits and pieces from Germany. I played them for my kids. I homeschool my 4, aged 6 to 17 years. Huh. That's a lot of kids. Every year we choose to focus on one major subject. Last year we focused on science. This year is history. What an interesting thing to homeschool your kids. That's a full-time thing.
What a commitment.
Yes, sis. And how, right?
Yeah.
We've been reading the Diary of Anne Frank as part of our World War II studies, and we visited the Holocaust Center in Durban. Have you been there? I didn't even know there was one.
No.
I have no idea.
I hate to be so ignorant. It brought back the discussion that you had about the state of our museums. We actually do have some really great museums. You remember that email that came through from somebody who was really upset because they had an exchange student from somewhere, Denmark or whatever, and they couldn't find a decent museum to take this exchange student to. Anyway, so this email from Taryn says there are some good museums. And the Holocaust Center is amazing. It's harrowing, but it's amazing. It covers not just the Jewish Holocaust, but touches on other genocides around the world. We also went to a night at the museum event held at the Peter Maritzburg Natural History Museum. It was really fun for the kids and adults, where they had paleontologists, archaeologists, and entomologists giving talks and demonstrations at the various exhibits. That is so good to hear.
Wow.
Oh, it makes me happy. Because I loved museums as a kid. I used to go, because I've been interested in so many stupid things through my life. And at one point, I was really into birds. I liked identifying birds. I think I could still do some of them. I mean, certainly the birds of prey and that kind of thing. If you put a picture of it in front of me, I want to know what it is. I want to be able to tell you. What a nerdy thing. What an existence. No wonder I didn't get laid until I was 20.
Well, the absence of sport leads people down many paths, Gareth.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not always a good one, right? Anyway, so
I'm surprised they had the patience for bird watching.
I went to that Peter Maritzburg Museum because they had a taxidermy section where they had a whole lot of animals and little birds. So they had, you know, a secretary bird and a little kingfisher. I mean, all the different kingfishers because there were about 20. I remember that exhibit because it made an impression on me. These tiny little kingfishers that someone had obviously killed and stuffed. And I thought, what a detailed business that must be. Because, you know, you stuff a buffalo. It's a big thing. You take out all the organs and slosh them into a big pan, and then you have to dry out the inside of the carcass and put in some stuffing. And
slosh,
yeah,
he says.
Yeah, 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 because you imagine what that's like. And then you have to mount the thing and make sure, put wires in and make it stand up and everything. Taxidermy is a very complicated thing. And then I looked at these little kingfishers. I mean, you could fit two of these in your hand. Little pygmy kingfisher. It's a little pink chest, and it's got this sort of bluish head and this little red beak. I mean, it's a gorgeous little thing. And to be able to stuff that, you must work under a microscope. It's so small.
I have very small hands.
Small little tiny, teeny, tiny hands.
Small taxidermy hands.
Right. I mean, what's that? And then I looked at this and I thought, what a great exhibit. As a kid, I was just blown away by this. I stood there and looked at it for, I don't know, 20 minutes, which is a long time for something to hold your attention or mine. So I'm so happy to hear this from Taryn. That's great that museum's still going. Something I thought you and your listeners may be interested in is a podcast series we've been following as part of our curriculum. What a great thing to be the teacher. You're the mom and the teacher. Stephen Fry's Great Leap Years, which goes into the stories behind discoveries in communication technology leading to where we are today. It's fascinating. That's Dr. Taryn. Nice.
Wow.
Love getting emails like that. So there we go, huh? Imagine you had to decide the curriculum for your kids.
She's a doctor, she's a mother, and she's a teacher.
Mm.
A full kid. Ooh.
Well, I want to get into this a little later on because Ben brought up something 2 days ago. He said, you know how we used to get religious education at school? Mm. And I think in many schools they still do. Obviously, in the religious schools, it's
yeah, if
everything.
If you get sent to St. So-and-so.
Yeah, you have to go to...
Good chance you're going to get some Jesus.
Go to Mass in the mornings and stuff.
Go to St. So-and-so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. St. Private schools.
Right. So Ben was saying, well, what if we allowed people to teach atheism in schools? Not that there's much of a code to atheism. How would that work? I mean, that's an interesting discussion.
It could be just one class. It could be an ongoing thing.
What would you even do?
It'd be so interesting.
The atheism class would last like 5 minutes.
How do you practice atheism?
Yeah, but what do you need to know?
You just tell a kid, look, it's up to you. Don't be a prick. Treat people with respect and stop making your problems everyone else's.
Well, those are just life rules in general.
But that's atheism, isn't it?
Well,
just don't be a prick. Stop trying to think that you're going to be safe because you're special, and just carry on with life and be kind to each other.
I don't know, because...
How else could you teach... This is what I thought was interesting, because...
Atheism is a non-category, so I love the idea, but it's a non-category. Being an atheist doesn't include stuff. It means that you're excluding stuff. So it doesn't really have... There's no central tenet. You can't... You know, like, if you study Islam, you have to learn the five pillars of Islam. You learn about pilgrimage and about charity and, you know, all these things that make up the good and the bad parts of Islam. You have to learn the history of the Prophet Muhammad. And there's stuff to learn.
Mm.
In atheism, you're... I'm not going to learn that. I'm not going to learn that. I'm not this, and I'm not... The class would last a minute and a half.
See, because another thing about atheism is that it shouldn't be about what's wrong with everything else, because that's the worst. It's only more annoying than an atheist who is like, well, your religion's stupid, your religion's stupid. It's like, well, just leave them be. So you wouldn't actually have anything to teach, but
I'll give you the class.
Be a great understanding.
Sit down, everybody. It's time for the class. I'm your teacher for today. I'm your guest teacher. I'm here to teach you about atheism.
Oh, yay.
Shut up, Sia. Sit down. There's always one gifted kid in the front row who has to make a fucking noise. All right. So atheism works like this. Don't just believe everything your parents or people in tall hats tell you. Thank you. You can have the rest of the day off.
Or it's like, hi, I'm your atheist teacher. I'm not going to molest you today.
Well.
That's also just one of the lines. I mean, we...
Okay.
Well, are you telling me a priest's going to come in and say the same line? Of course he's not.
But there's a difference between religion and pedophiles.
I'm Father Patrick, and I'm rather fond of young boys. I mean,
Ben sees them in exactly the same category.
That's what I'm trying to differentiate for him. That there's a difference between a priest and a pedophile.
No, we've worked it out. Priests are just pedophiles that have gone pro.
Oh, buddy.
But really, it wouldn't be a class. I mean, you know. All right, everybody. Today, you don't have to believe in anything. Hello. Thank you.
Mm.
I just think atheism should actually step up a bit and say, right, atheism is actually about understanding your place as a kind, caring, loving person.
No, that's not that. That's humanitarianism.
Gareth, atheism must claim that. Gareth, we're trying to get people together for this. Stop being so negative.
Who's the Pope of atheism? I mean, who's in charge of
this? But that's just it. No one. So someone's got to step up.
So that's the problem, right? There's no organization.
But like, that's exactly my point, which you're talking over.
Have you ever gone to a meeting of atheists?
No.
Do you know who the other atheists are?
No, and I don't actually care because I'm an atheist. But that's the code. But I'm saying
there's no content, Ben. The
purpose of this conversation is if you want to make a class out of it, you need to start claiming a couple of things. So you can start claiming kindness.
Well, you also have to claim Stalin and Hitler. According to most people, they were atheists.
You have to claim anybody who likes an idea. You got to claim what the idea is about.
Oh. You have very fine lines with all of this.
Oh, thank you, sir.
This is the whole problem, right? And I try to explain to people who are very upset and offended and threatened by atheism or agnosticism, because that's a whole different thing. You know, an agnostic is someone who they're not sure what they believe in, but they're pretty sure there isn't anything. They just don't know. And they admit ignorance up front, which I think is a great position to take. Atheists say, no, fucking there's nothing. And then there are anti-theists who go, there's nothing and I'm glad there's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but the way to describe this to someone is, if all the religions of the world are different haircuts, then atheism's baldness. It's not a haircut.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Okay.
In other words, there's nothing the hairdresser's not going to help. If you're bald, I suppose you could put a wig on, but that's not a hairstyle. It's not a haircut. You know,
it's the worst kind of haircut because you're faking it.
Yeah. So I don't know that it's a subject. I don't know that you could learn atheism.
But if you were,
I thought about this.
But if you were to
see how much thought I put into what you asked me.
But if you were to do so, this is the whole point here.
but it wouldn't be long. You'd need maximum 15 minutes. Maybe let the kids have a debate.
Yeah, but that's just it. Another thing about atheism is about the whole blind faith thing. It gets people to talk about other stuff. So it's just, think of atheism like tequila. You can have a party and everyone's going to be fine. Put a tequila in parties, suddenly the party's different. Everyone's doing different things. So
or cocaine. Maybe it's cocaine.
Or just like a charismatic person like Sia who lights up a room. Think of it like that. It's like this facilitator to alternative conversations, understandings about things, rather than just going, yes, Father, yes, yeah, yeah, Hail Mary, blah, 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 blah. Because that's just stupid.
Right. You've completely lost hey, Nono, your nice analogy.
Nono's just joined us, everybody. Isn't that nice of her? Wow. I mean, you know, what I love is that Nono's there from 6 so we can have a conversation with her. It's so great. Isn't it, Sia? Isn't it wonderful?
Delightful.
Don't you just love... Good morning. Nono, it's so nice to see you. What a privilege for us to have you join us this morning.
What a ray of sunshine. Yeah.
By the way, if anyone was waiting for Nola's opinion, what a fortunate thing for you that she's here with 2 minutes to go until 5 things you need to know. Huh? Sure. Nono, you've got 2 minutes. Do you want to use the time?
You missed out on a fascinating conversation on atheism.
I should have.
She was even on the. We've got a WhatsApp group last night. She's like, "Oh yeah, I really want to talk about that."
Listen, I was going through the most last night. I really was.
What happened?
What's
up with you?
I don't know if I should say this.
Yes. Is it very personal?
It's very sensitive, but at the same time, it's not.
Does it have to do with female hygiene stuff or vaginas?
Wait, what?
Never know. I always want to make sure.
How is that always your go-to?
Well, because you know, whenever
what China?
No, hang on. Whenever a woman says to you, "Ah, this is quite personal," I immediately think it's got something to do with menstruation.
No, not mine. It's
immediately.
We'll discuss this one day.
All right. What is it? Do you want to tell us?
I'm being terrorized by some person. This has been happening for the past 2 years now.
It's a shady ex.
It is.
Oh, see? Knew
it. But you got a boyfriend.
I do, yeah.
And there's this shady ex who's made a reappearance in your life?
Not my shady ex, unfortunately.
Oh, his.
Girl. It's quite deep.
So that was keeping you guys up?
Yeah, I didn't sleep a wink.
What, is she texting or is she physically present?
She was texting and she has this supposed blog that she publishes bullshit on. And
you know, anyone who calls themselves a blogger, we should really pull them out of the society.
Let's not group psychopaths and bloggers.
That's what he does. No. Yeah.
You were doing it earlier too.
I was making factual statements.
Priests and pedophiles and bloggers and psychopaths are two different people.
Get off them. Jeez, you're obsessed.
But who still does like anonymous blogs? Like that's so 2007.
It's not anonymous. Yeah, I can send you the link.
Do you know where she lives?
What is it?
I know where she lives.
What's the blog?
You can't do this now. All right, we got to get to the 5 things. Well, Nola is here, so she can take your calls. If you've wanted to get hold of us, you can do so. 0861-555-189. And if you want to WhatsApp us, you can do that on 0797482090. Exciting. All right, where do we start with the 5 things? Helen Zilla.
Oh?
Let's start with that. "I'm going to announce," she said, "that we're deploying 71 rail enforcement officers."
Nice, Helen. That's good. Because those trains are up to shit right now. Yeah. Jeepers, what a mess.
What a mess. The city of Cape Town. Why is she... Isn't Patricia back as mayor?
Oh, I don't know.
Don't they let her talk now? I mean, it's the city of Cape Town.
I think the DA took like a week off after Moosey got to a million Twitter followers.
What a mess.
Oh.
That DA... Good Lord. All right, anyway, so the city of Cape Town says the training of the new rail enforcement officers follows an agreement between the provincial and local government, each contributing 16 million rand towards the project. So Helen announced 71 rail enforcement officers who will be deployed to Cape Town's railway network next month. What I understand has been happening here, over the past few months, Metro Rail's been hit by a number of arson attacks, right? You know, this is where people set trains on fire.
And, yes. Yeah. People have been speculating it's the taxi industry.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't put anything past them. That's our own shitty mafia.
It's the taxi industry. It's other political parties who have come out and said we'll make this place ungovernable. These are all very close to what's happening.
And last week, a commuter was killed when passengers were robbed, assaulted, and flung from a train between Eersterfiet and Linnedok stations. Now, if you saw those crime statistics, which we didn't even talk about yesterday, because frankly, it's depressing and everyone else is talking about it, so we don't need to go down that path. I always say if we're doing the same thing that stupid, predictable talk radio is doing, then we're doing you a disservice. But the interesting thing about those crime stats is that the Western Cape is bedlam. It really is ungovernable.
Mm.
If you look at the top 10 places in South Africa where murder is on the increase, and where the most people in South Africa get murdered, like 9 out of 10 of them are in the Cape. And it's Eerste Rivier and Kales Rivier and Salt
really
River
bad.
And Nyanga and Khayelitsha and Guguletu and Delft. And these are terrible places.
Yeah, those Cape Flats, it's like...
Jesus, and it's a lawless...
No one ever loved the Cape Flats.
Oh, Wild West, man. Wild Western Cape. So the city of Cape Town says the training of all new rail enforcement officers follows an agreement between the provincial and local government, each contributing some money. And Zilla says they will be deployed on the central line first and will be deployed on trains and platforms in October. Well, let's hope it saves some lives. And let's hope that people stop destroying infrastructure. I mean, for some people, the train's the only way to get to work, yeah, right?
Exactly.
The only way to get home to your family after a day's work. What kind of shithead sets that on fire? Makes it hard for poor people to get to and from home.
People who could benefit from the situation. Well, I'm not one to speculate,
sure,
but...
you're saying quite a lot there.
Just saying.
Apparently there's a deadly canine disease while we're in the Cape.
Ooh.
That is spreading through the streets. Cape Town has been identified as a hotspot for the deadly canine distemper virus, which was first picked up in Knysna, led to 271 dogs being euthanized. Wow. The Animal Welfare Society of South Africa in Philippi, which encompasses the entire Cape Metro with a focus on the flats, has noticed a worrying spike in the number of cases reported. So it's not even just the people, even the dogs are dangerous in the flats.
That's great for tourism, isn't
it? Can you imagine? What a place this is. Huh? Isn't this scary?
Beyond.
So anyway, the dogs have this distemper virus. It sounds really horrible. And they're vicious. Need to be put down. No? Right. All right. Okay. I'm just listening to the dog. It's busy telling me what's going on.
Dog sounds very healthy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Yes. Okay. Well, that was fascinating. Oh. That was our correspondent from the Cape Flats.
And what did the dog say?
You didn't understand? You don't speak dog?
No.
Oh.
Would you mind translating?
Yeah, it was that this is a long time coming. It's got to do with the fact that all these Alsatian crosses are just so loose, and they just throw themselves around. And then the Spaniels got in there, and then before you know it, there was those Boer bulls.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of tension amongst them because they have the best kennels.
Thanks.
So,
you speak dog.
Yeah, I don't see a resolution in sight, quite frankly.
Stormy Daniels has promised to spill the beans on Donald Trump and her life as a stripper in a memoir. Well, haven't we already had all the beans? I mean, what beans have you still got stuffed up there?
Who cares?
What do you got hidden up there, Stormy Daniels? I thought we'd seen it all.
Stormy Daniels, have we never heard a scandal before? I mean, this is... You've got to really come out and do something very special to get people's attention nowadays.
No, she's really pulling this 15 seconds and trying to make it an hour.
When did a porn star become... You know, because she's anti-Trump, people are prepared to listen to her. Democrats never listened to porn stars before. They didn't even listen to women who actually were put in a position where there was a powerful man who asked them to suck their dicks and they did it. Like Monica Lewinsky. They never took her side. Do you notice that?
Yeah, it's funny that.
Suddenly Stormy Daniels did something with Trump. He's admitted it. She's admitted it. It's not a big story. It's not illegal. Now she is the pillar of truth. Now we can't wait for more revelations from Stormy Daniels.
She's the victim. She's
from Cum Guzzlers 60.
Oh.
Whoa. Okay.
That's a movie.
Star Wars.
Adult film actress Stormy Daniels has claimed that she was written a no-holds-barred memoir. She hasn't written anything. If she was a writer, she wouldn't have had to become an adult film star. And that's not me being judgmental. That's because adult film stars don't normally write books. Even Jenna Jameson, who wrote hers, which was actually a bestseller, she didn't write it. You see what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm saying?
It's all attention seeking.
Daniels.
That's all it is.
Daniels is 40 years old. Her real name is Stephanie Clifford. She said on ABC's The View. Oh, you see, those women on The View would never have had an adult film star on before. I mean, if you'd asked Barbara Walters, she would have gone, ew, I'm not having a porn star
they
on.
They would say, we're better than this, quite
yeah,
frankly.
Right.
Yeah, The View's just on this path, because they also had Omarosa this week.
And they don't like Trump, so they'll even take a porn star and say, well, she's got to be more veritable than Donald Trump, just because they hate Trump so much.
Yeah,
they'd rather listen to a porn star mouthing off about him. But when did we ever believe porn stars before?
Because mainstream media, Gareth, is so desperate for an audience, desperate for attention, to Nolo's point. They are so desperate to get your eyes off your phone and onto them. They will talk to, if Stormy Daniels' dog could say, Trump's a dick, they would have him on.
They'd have the dog.
They'd have him on. Because it would be clicks. It would
hey,
be
don't
eyes.
Knock it. We just had a dog on.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, that dog's obviously professional.
So oh.
It's on the ground.
Alrighty. Well, aren't all dogs on the ground?
Here's something quite interesting.
Reporter sincere. Gosh, crap.
We've got to get to sport, guys. I'd love to talk Stormy Daniels all morning with you.
And dogs on the ground.
A small stone flake marked with an intersecting line of red ochre pigment some 73,000 years ago was found in a cave on South Africa's southern coast, and it represents what archaeologists on Wednesday called the oldest known example of human drawing. So it's a piece of rock with some lines on it.
This is cool, but people are now calling those lines a hashtag. I'm like, calm down, people in the 21st century.
Can you imagine?
No, a caveman was not predicting hashtags.
Imagine if some feminist activist with a huge big afro and her titties out, and she's screaming about women's rights and the patriarchy. Can you imagine? Like 73 million years ago, or whatever.
In cave faces.
I'm not going to take this anymore.
But if you squint, I can see what people are saying when they say it's a hashtag.
I'm a queen.
Yes. You hashtag on inside of your cave, girl.
I'm a queen.
Yeah. Some 30,000 years ago were the oldest ones before they discovered this. I mean, it's really a piece of rock with some lines on it. If that's the best we could have done 73,000 years ago, then thank fuck we evolved.
Sure.
There's nothing going on there. But, I mean, hell, we'll take it. We've got the oldest human remains they've found recently in Sterkfontein here and in the whole cradle of humankind. So if we've also got the oldest human drawing, I mean, look at it. It's not very impressive. I'll show you. It's a piece of rock. Describe that any other way.
Piece of rock.
Yeah, piece of rock with some lines in it. But they could have been drawn. Alternatively, it could have just been, you know, some animal was moving its hoof and it just scraped the rock against another rock. You don't know. How do they know that was a human?
But let's
take it. Let's let someone else debunk it. We're going to own it.
Okay.
We have, ladies and gentlemen, we now have the oldest human drawing in the world. And we will put it in a museum somewhere and you can go and see it. Okay? Deal? Cool. Let's move on. It's time for Ben to give us the sport. By the way, Bitcoin's trading at $6,412 and Ethereum at $190. What do you got, Ben?
Well, Gareth, I've got more from the Serena situation, is what it could be called, I guess. The All Blacks are back to full strength against the box and record spending in the summer transfer window in European football.
Lots of things to talk about. Where do you begin?
Yeah, well, look, the whole Serena thing, it's obviously people have very emotional reactions to it. They're very sort of knee-jerk reactions to it. And then you give it a couple of days and some really big voices are starting to come out. Now, it's a little bit too long to play, but if you might find it on Facebook or YouTube, whatever, but the Bolt Report. He's an Australian guy on CNN, and he puts together this whole thing about what this whole situation is, about identity politics and victim politics.
Well, it's also, isn't it because, I don't mean to paraphrase this dude, I haven't heard the report. Isn't part of it that people worship Serena for various reasons, right?
Sure.
Because she's a powerful female athlete, because she's a black woman, whatever it might be. And they put a lot of their own, they project their own stuff onto Serena.
Completely.
And then when Serena doesn't win and she doesn't behave perfectly, and they have to, because everything they are is in her, they have to go with it, right? Yeah,
it's completely
invested. So it's like you've, what do they call it when you've put so much money into the machine at the casino that you just have to keep putting money in? sunken costs.
Yeah.
And you have to keep plugging your money into the machine, hoping you'll get the return. And what ends up happening is the machine takes all your money.
And then you're left with nothing. Which is what a lot of people feel are left with now, because when the truth and the facts are really put together, they're kind of left with nothing, so now they double down. But everyone's double downing on their theories. And again, it's like, the discussion point was interesting. I still believe it's great to have discussion points about inequalities amongst the sexes. I still stand by that view. I had on it. But there's no doubting that her actions in isolation were completely offline. Martina Navratilova had an interesting take on this as well, amongst many people, is that even if men do things and maybe not get punished to the level they should, it doesn't mean you have to act the same way. I mean, it's just be an adult, be a superstar. Don't also then think you can be this person. But I don't want to get into that part. Mm-hmm. What I find interesting now is that tennis umpires are apparently coming forward and saying they will not chair Serena's matches until she actually apologizes.
Wow.
To Carlos Ramos.
Hmm.
Carlos Ramos has also broken his silence. I always love
that's
it.
The umpire, right?
Yeah, I always love when reporters say that. They've broken their silence, like they're holed up in some room somewhere. And he says, I'm fine given the circumstances. It's a delicate situation, but umpiring a la carte does not exist. Don't worry about me. That's what he said. Naomi Osaka, who of course won that
shame.
Match.
I feel she's the real victim.
She is, but this is another thing about
a poor woman who fought for her life. She won the match. No one cares.
That's another reason why you must watch this Bolt Report take on the whole thing, because it brings up the situation of Serena's fighting so hard for gender equality and all that kind of stuff. I mean, this is a woman who's now really on the receiving end of just some terrible behavior and
if Serena cared about gender equality and stuff, she'd be out there screaming for Osaka.
Here's another point. Imagine Serena's opponent on the night was white.
Oy, oy, oy.
Think about that.
Oh my God, we would have had
unholy
fury.
Yeah, there's a little pinch.
I didn't think about that. Good
but
point.
Osaka, good for her. Okay, so try to get back to the positive frame. Is that she's about to sign what looks to be a huge deal. So she's currently on a mere six-figure deal with Adidas, her current kit provider. Mm-hmm. But after winning the U.S. Open, she looks to be kind of in line to sign an $8.5 million deal annually.
Billions and billions and billions and billions.
She won $3.8 million by beating Serena fair and square on the night, obviously at Flushing Meadows. But yeah, how cool. $8.5 million. She's obviously a huge marketable success. She's 20 years old. She's a Grand Slam winner. She's got the whole cultural thing going there. Obviously, she's foreign. And people love this kind of shit. They lap it up. It's great. Good for her. And again, kids, work hard. And you too can be, making lots and lots of money.
All right.
The European leagues, as I said, they spent a shit ton of money over the summer season.
Mm-hmm.
$4.21 billion was spent in the human trafficking trade of football. Now, a lot of this got to do with the fact that Ronaldo moved. Mm-hmm. So, of course, if Ronaldo moves, then what else is going to happen? The Italian section of the spending will skyrocket.
Yeah.
So 75% is what Serie A was up in. So Serie A takes in, obviously, a lot more interest now because they spent all this money on Ronaldo. But La Liga also 42.2% up in spending.
All right.
France was 6.1% up. And, France, Italy... Sorry. I've totally cocked this up.
What's happened, Ben? Do you want to start again? We'll just edit that out. Oh, no, wait, we're live.
Live, unscripted. I've just read the wrong thing out of context.
Try again. We'll just pretend we didn't hear that. All right, everybody, let's just pretend none of that happened, all right?
Gareth, I've lost momentum now. Lots of money getting paid to footballers. Nothing's changed here. Blah, blah, blah. That's the story.
All right.
Yeah. The All Blacks, they've made 10 changes from after the... So this is, again, how great are these guys? They can make 10 changes to a team,
mm-hmm.
play Argentina, beat them by 20 points. Everyone goes, wow, Argentina played well against New Zealand's B team.
Right.
They kind of want to do better this week, so they brought back all the big guns. So Jordy Barrett at the back, Ben Smith, Anton Leonard-Brown, Ryan Crotty, Rico Ioane, Bowden Barrett, Aaron Smith.
Huh.
Name a better backline in the world. It's better than anything the South Africans ever produced. Kieran Reid is captain. Sam Kane and Liam Squire make up the loose trio. Scott Barrett comes in because Brady Retallick, who's currently probably their best player, if you think about it, he's injured. So the Box have one bit of good news there. That's that they don't have the best lock pairing. Sam Whitelock goes to number 4. And then Owen Franks, Cody Taylor, and Carl Tuinakufa.
Yes.
Yes. So, yeah. Like I said yesterday, the bookies, the online pundits, are being fair by saying the Box have a 22.5-point handicap.
It's going to be a shit show.
Go north of that. Go north of that. The Box will obviously announce their team today. And shout out to Matt Pierce. Now, there's a guy working for Supersport right now. He's there trying to draw blood from a bloody stone of no stories. Like, what's he going to say?
Well, he's
interview the players about them trying harder this week.
You got to give
but
him.
But he's making it happen.
Give
he's
him credit.
He's a professional.
Shame.
He's a what professional. A job. And he's making it happen there.
What a horrible job.
God, can you imagine waking up and going, what am I going to talk to these guys about? They're about to get absolutely annihilated by the All Blacks. It's inevitable.
Are the players sort of pretending that it's all going to be an even match? Are they?
Sure.
Are they pumped up and motivated?
Well,
and
Damien Donnelly did say something which I enjoyed. He says,
this is like being thumped.
Yeah, but again, it's like when you get to these positions, you must always learn from them. You can't just sit there and go, we're going to lose. It's like when people say, South Africa's going to the shit. Yeah, no shit. But what are you going to do about it?
Yes.
We're going to learn nothing about being doomsday mongers.
Right.
So David Allen just said, there's a reason why we're here. We're the best in the country, okay? We are the best players that this country has to offer. We need to enjoy that fact. We need to basically say, sorry, can we do one thing at a time here?
Sorry, yes.
We basically want to say, we are the best players in this country. We are here. We must celebrate this fact and actually have some fun with it, rather than like, we're going to get beaten. Mm. So you've got to learn from these things.
But it's pride.
But you've got to...
It's the honor of the Springbok brand and all this crap.
Yeah,
you know what?
You've got to learn from your situations and just find new ways of actually getting further ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So, the Box are going to lose, but they must do something about that loss. Get the experience. Make it better for the time next time back.
Yeah, well, they cuck.
Oh.
Yes, Gareth, they are. But they're also second on the rugby championship right now. New Zealand, of course, have won it. They always do. Not a lot more on the sport. That's pretty much it. People are still talking about Serena. JP Duminy is talking about how excited he is still about cricket, although nobody really cares. And there's Curry Cup. It's out there. It's a thing. And then
only person who can make sport interesting for me is Ben.
Tomorrow I'll take you through the big fixtures of what's happening for the weekend, so you know when to time your intake of beer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then obviously it's the Dutch something or other, the KLM Open or in the European Tour.
Mm-hmm.
Being played at a place where there's far too many consonants in the name.
Oh.
Something or other.
All right.
Alrighty.
Thank you, Ben. Here's Sia with Said by Sia.
Folks, did you see this video of a biker who came to the aid of a driver in a hit and run?
Yes.
No.
It was intense to watch, but my goodness, it's
what,
quite
an act or
something.
Did someone send you a video, Ben? Is it?
It's all over the internet.
Oh, the interwebs.
Yeah, it is this...
Hashtag good news story.
Motorbike rider who has a dash cam on his helmet, and he was busy in traffic here in Johannesburg.
Helmet cam, really.
Oh, technically there's no dash. Yes. Okay, I get you, Ben. It's a helmet cam. Sorry. Yes, let's be specific. A helmet cam. And he was in traffic here in Johannesburg, and he saw a random guy come up to this car's window and then was breaking the window and was about to make off with a bag. So it was a typical hit and run, a smash and grab rather situation. And this biker was so quick thinking and stood up for this car that he started weaving his way through traffic and chasing after the guy who was the thief in the scenario. So at first I was like startled by this and wondered how I would have reacted if I was in the situation, because heaven only knows I wouldn't have done it. But I did my research on him and just wanted to salute him this morning.
Cool.
So his name is Anton Damhays, and he is now being hailed as a hero because he stopped the smash and grab during peak hour traffic. He was just minding his own business. He was on his way home in his ordinary route back, and he was very quick thinking. This all took place on Monday the 10th of September, so it was this week. And since the video has been released, it's now been shared over thousands of times on social media, and tons of people have now just gone on the path of thanking Anton for what he did, including the driver of the car, who was very grateful that his belongings were actually recovered.
Was he? He didn't look grateful. Because I watched the clip and the guy was like,
Well, I mean, he just had his window broken and he was still shaken by the entire incident. But the driver of the car and the victim in the scenario, his name is Philip Kotzer, and he has now taken to social media to thank Anton. Okay. He says, "I was the man in the car and want to really thank you for intervening. Sorry I did not thank you yesterday, but I was in shock."
Ah, so Ben was right, in his statement. See, there we go. That's why we get the full story here.
"I eventually ran into him with the car, and unfortunately my laptop. The dent in the car is a minor price to pay for my safety and protection. Being in the middle of Alex, all I could think of was getting out of there. But thankfully and hopefully our paths will cross again, and hopefully under a different circumstance. And I will make sure that you know how much I appreciate you." So, yeah.
Oh, don't you worry. They're going to be calling them up on Espresso soon to get them reunited in the studio so some airhead can interview them about the occasion. Don't you worry, that's going to happen.
It is just a good thing of a biker who is quick-thinking and selfless in a scenario. Just search it on social media. It is everywhere right now. It's the biker who helped stop a smash-and-grab and peak hour traffic here in Johannesburg.
Fantastic.
That's it, said by Sia for this morning.
Thank you, Sia. Sia is always giving us a reason to smile and think better of our fellow human beings.
Oh, that's a great tagline.
That's right. Humans are not all shitheads. No, they aren't. Some people are quite nice.
Except some of the people in Syria, maybe.
Shame. They also can't. It's not their fault their leaders want to bomb the hell out of them.
It's not their fault. They have to, you know, work on chlorine attacks.
From the outer reaches. This is tonight.
This is tonight, yes.
From the outer reaches of space to the small town streets of suburbia, The Hunt comes home in Shane Black's explosive reinvention of the Predator series. Now the universe's most lethal hunters are stronger, smarter, and deadlier than ever before, having genetically upgraded themselves from DNA from other species. When a young boy accidentally triggers their return to Earth, only a ragtag crew of ex-soldiers and a disgruntled science teacher can prevent the end of the human race. CliffCentral.com wants you to come on. Are we sold out on this thing?
We are done.
Okay.
Completely sold out.
So I don't have to I'm just going to tell you that it's on this evening. Don't pitch up there if you don't have a ticket, all right?
Yeah, no.
We'll send you packing.
We'll have the Predator deal with you if your name isn't on the list.
Yeah, the Predator. We've got him in the cage. We're going to release him. Make him eat you and your children!
I'm really excited for this one.
I can't come. I've got this other event on.
Oh, yes.
I'm so annoyed. I wanted to come to this.
Askies, but we'll have fun on your behalf.
CliffCentral.com wants you to come, and we're inviting a bunch of our listeners who've all replied to events at CliffCentral.com. They're going to have the experience of watching the movie before anyone else does. That's tonight. So watch it on social media. We'll have some people sending pictures out, and there's free popcorn and Coke and a nice movie to watch. I want to hear what you think of The Predator.
It's all exclusive because we get to see it first.
That's right.
It's the national release tomorrow.
All right. Ben, if the Bucks win, you will have to do the sport high on marijuana on Monday or suck a penis. How about that? That's from Mr. Schmangles.
That escalated so quickly.
Yeah, Mr. Schmangles.
Wow, that's a lot. Ben didn't exactly put all his chips on red or black here. He did say the All Blacks are going to win, but he didn't say I'm going to do something horrible if they lose.
Well, yeah, I mean, sure. Okay, fine.
But you did say it's a sure thing.
Of course it is. Right. First versus the seventh best team in the world.
All right. And then Lubabalo says, "Wow, my cat freaked out when you played that dog sound." Well, it wasn't a dog sound. That was an actual interview we had.
It was a reporter. Show some respect.
From the Cape Flats. It's one of our contributors this morning. And Michelle says, "Gareth, there's a great episode of This American Life called Feather Heist about a guy that stole rare birds from a natural history museum. So I should watch that." All right. Did I tell you I started watching Stranger Things?
Finally.
God, I feel like I'm so far behind because everybody's like, "What? You only started that now?"
But are I'm you enjoying in season it. One?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What a good actress that little Millie Bobby Brown is.
Oh, she's getting a lot of hype.
She's a very talented little actress. How old was she when they started that? It looks like she's about 12.
That sounds about right. I have no cooking clue.
So what's going to happen next week, Gareth? You want to review Breaking Bad while you
shut up. All right, you shut up. You know what, Ben? I'm actually thinking we should get a penis for you to suck.
Okay. How about that?
All right, everybody. Cliff Central.
Facebook.com.